are a sinner. Amen. Reminded you that if you don't get saved, you're going to end up in hell. That's it. He said, that's it. That's it. And he cried out to God for mercy. Thank God when we cry out to God for mercy, that's what we get. When we deserve hell, He gives us mercy. And we deserve the judgment of God because of His great mercy when He went to that cross and died there for us. So listen to this. When He paid that sin debt, are you listening? It was for every man. Every man, woman, boy, and girl. And we can't even comprehend that. But that's why we ought to be busy about the Lord's work. Because you don't know, when you give a tract to someone, you don't know that that may be the person that's going to read it, and God's going to get a hold of their heart. Now, I wrote a tract about 30 years ago. I really didn't write it. I just put the verses together. Can't claim to say I'm writing the Word of God. No, I just put the verses together and put some thoughts together. And God's Word doesn't return void. And that tract that I put together 30 years ago, somebody got a hold of it, put it in a paper machine, and I don't even know if the address is on here. But anyway, it was put in a newspaper machine. You know the kind you put about 57 and a quarter, whatever it is, and then it opens up. And then on top of the top paper was a tract that I put together 30 years ago. And you want me to read you the letter? Okay, everybody sit up straight. Hello, my name is Lisa, and I found your little tract in a newspaper machine. It was laying on top of the newspaper I got today. So I took it home and I read it. It really lifted me up. I've been so depressed and so down the past few weeks. I just didn't know where to turn or who to turn to. When I saw that on the top of that paper, I thought, this must be a message to me from God. And that's when it hit me. Someone does care. And I'm not alone in this world. I have done so many bad things. And so many bad things have happened to me. I have just wanted to die. First my mom died, and then my husband got sick, and she names a whole bunch of things. And for sake of time, I will skip all. I mean, just from one thing to another, I was at my breaking point, and I didn't feel like anybody cared. And I don't believe I would have made it another day. So that tract that individual put there, someone read the Word of God, and it got to her heart, and she didn't think she was going to make another day. And when I found that tract, I know in my heart that God cares for me. And I do have someone to talk to, and that someone is God. I've always believed in God, but now, because of that tract, I have been saved. But I guess I just lost my way and live for myself these days. But I hope and pray that things will be better for me now. At least now I don't feel alone in this world anymore. The tract I found was God's Message to You from Fellowship Tract League. The tract that I wrote, we have it printed. It looks like this on the front. But it's tract number 104, and we changed so that people could get it and they wouldn't have to look at that picture. And it says God's Message to You on the front, and that's the one she found. But the insides was the Word of God that God allowed me to put together. I don't take it lightly, because every one of us has a responsibility. There's people that you know that I will never get a chance to witness to or give them a tract. But you can. And God's Word works. I've got a few thoughts that the Lord let me put down on paper. I'll read them to you tonight. And like they say many places in North Carolina, we'll preach a little while and give you a few points and then go to the house. You ever heard say that? Hey, my bed ain't too far away. And we appreciate what you've done for the Fellowship Tract League. Appreciate for you having that. And that, I don't have to tell you a thing. Everything is just super. Just appreciate it. Anyway, the significance of the Word of God. So if some of you take notes, and it's good to take notes when there's preachers. But God gave me this years ago when I started as a representative. I started as a representative in 2000. And so traveled many miles across the United States. We've been in every state, several foreign countries. So we've been at it a long time. Now in 2007, they called me up because the preacher was sick. And they didn't know what the problem was, but they found out later on he had Alzheimer's. And he seemed to be normal, but you know, there's people that get Alzheimer's, they think everybody else is sick except them. And so the church took a dive, and track league was starting to go down as well. And God allowed that man to start one of the greatest ministries, I believe, on the face of the earth. That's why the devil fights us. Anyway, they said, you need to come. And they took the old man off the road and made him the preacher in 2007. Pastored the church from 2007 to 2013, at which time my associate that helped me, I called him up in Michigan. He wondered where to go. I said, you need to come help me. And so he had been a friend for many years. I preached in the church he was attending in Michigan. So he came and helped me. I said, okay, it's time for you to be the pastor. And I don't need all that responsibility. Mary and I are just going to go on a permanent vacation. That's what some folks call it. No, it's not really a permanent vacation. But we're on the road and we're continuing to represent the Fellowship Tract League as a missionary representative. So I went from evangelist to pastor to missionary. You say, well, that's just titles. All of it is I love the Lord for what He's done for me. And I want to, did I get the right button pushed? I'll bet I did. Red light ain't on? Okay, I'll hold it again. It don't come on. It's on the side. Red button on the side. Oh, I was supposed to never hold it. Now it's on. Now if I walk over here, you can hear me talk? Okay. All right, so where are we at? The Word of God is powerful. Yes, well, when I got to preach at the church, why, I got calls for missionaries. Every missionary that called Fellowship Tract League, or called Fellowship Baptist Church, I answered every one. They leave a message, and on the when they call, I would tell them, I'll call you back. I'm not here right now. And I would call them back. And some of those missionaries would say, I can't believe this.
Yeah.
I make about 25 calls, and I may get one to return the call. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you the truth. Yeah. And one missionary, when he called me, I'm chasing a rabbit now, it's a good fresh trail. When he called me, I says, we really, right now, can't take any more missionaries off for support. But I want you to know that I'm for you, and thank God that you surrendered to the mission field. And I've been where you're at. And I said, I want to have a word of prayer with you today on the phone. And I prayed for that man, that God would bring and support him, that God would open up preachers to have him come. And when I got done praying, he couldn't talk. He was crying. And then finally, when he gathered his composure, he said, I have never had a preacher respond that way. So I don't know why I'm telling you this. But love those missionaries.
Amen.
You know, there's a whole bunch of them out there. I was looking at them. I looked at the Fellowship Tract League letter. Hey, that's the lifeline of this church.
Yeah.
And it ought to be of every church we go to, because that's what it's about.
Amen.
Getting the gospel out, and people are dying and going to hell, and God has used His people.
Yeah. Amen.
Now I'm going to stop preaching for a moment. I'm going to go to meddling, okay? But before I go up and start meddling, I want to tell you I love you and I care about you and I love your pastor and love Brother Martin. Can't always remember his name, but I think about our guitarist that we got. How many of you every day pray, God, fill me with your spirit that I may be an effective witness for you today, and you put tracts in your pocket or in the glove compartment, or in your purse, and you do it every day? heard a preacher preach some time back. He says, America's going to hell in a handbasket. And what are the reason it is? We have the answer.
That's right.
Now there's a whole lot of different ways for us to be an effective witness.
That's right.
Yeah,
and I don't mean to be picking on you, but one of the things that we all can do, even you young people. My 5-year-old boy used to put me to shame. We were knocking on doors. Are you listening? Where you at, Brother Phil? We were knocking on doors in, what's that town on the east of Montana? Where you at, sweetheart? You can't remember. Anyway, we were knocking on doors. Going, we was preaching revival there. And we was out knocking on doors. And I looked ahead and seen the next gate. It was quite a span, a pretty good sized yard. I seen a Doberman in the yard. And a 5-year-old boy, he just opens the gate and walks right on in. And I looked down and he wasn't there. And I see him halfway up to the door. I said, oh no. Then I knew I had to go in there too. I thought he's in there. But that Doberman is, I mean, that could have been bad. But the dog didn't bother him at all. In fact, never barked, done nothing. So I walked with him up to the gate and knocked on the door. And he says, How'd you dare to come in here? And I pointed at him. A little child shall lead them on. And was able to give him a gospel tract and invite him to church. But hey, I was a chicken. I was going to skip that place. But anyway, my 5-year-old boy, you want to know how many years ago that was? 45 years ago. Because my 5-year-old boy is now 50 years old, and he lives 2 hours south of here, Manning, South Carolina. Anyway, are we having a good time in church tonight? Why have church if we're not challenged to serve God to a greater degree? So that's what we're doing tonight. One thing that I want to tell you to commend you is the back seats are all empty. You're hungry for the Word of God. Hey, the Word of God is precious.
Amen.
The Word of God is powerful, number one. The Word of God is powerful. Every one of us that got saved, you got saved hearing the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God.
Yeah,
so number one, it's powerful.
Yes, sir.
The significance of the Word of God. The significance of a gospel tract. You ever thought how much Bible it takes for someone to be saved? It doesn't take very much at all. And many times when someone gets saved, like that fellow in Michigan, all he could remember is he was a sinner. And there's a hell. And he was going there. But that's about all he remembered. And then he found himself crying. He said, I have never cried in public in my life. I'm ashamed. I said, don't be ashamed. Everyone in this room, I said to them that got saved, I said, they experienced what you went through. Some of them, maybe it was just tears. But there was conviction. What is it? I said, you became aware that you were a sinner and you agreed with God that you deserved to go to hell.
Amen.
But you don't have to go because Jesus paid your sin debt.
Amen.
Amen. You like that song? He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. When I do that, they usually join me, you know.
Yeah.
And now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace. The whole day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. That's the way I can. That's the only reason I can stand before you tonight. Because I get the same flesh. I said it before. I get the same flesh you do. And that's the one thing that gives me a problem. The man I look at in the mirror in the morning in the shade. And I thank God that I'm not going to hell because I've sinned. I'm eternally secure. I couldn't work to get it, and I could never be good enough to keep it. So the Bible is powerful. Next point, you want to remember this one I mentioned a moment ago. I was getting ahead of myself. Matthew 24 and verse 35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not. He put it above everything. The Word of God is precious tonight. Is it precious to you that the first thing you do You get up in the morning, it's either pray or grab for your Bible. Hey, you expect to get in on the blessings of God, and you ask God to bless you. Hey, let's get excited about His Word. He preserved it for you and I. And it's precious. Whenever I think about the Word of God being precious. Did you come up here and play tonight? You did. That's right. Did you? Amen. Man, there's so many up there. You was up there too. Amen. You want to help me tonight? Will you help me? I want to make an illustration. Okay. Lay your Bible down. Come on up here. I needed somebody with some muscles. You got the muscles. Look at there. Come on up here. Stand over here. Now you see, when I went to Bible Institute, it was to reach children. Child Evangelism Fellowship. I went to Bible Institute there. Look at me. And we're talking about the Word of God. It's precious. Anyway, I got to preach in Russia. And those people would put us to shame in loving the Word of God. Can I use your Bible a minute? Let's just pretend this was a Bible in the Russian language. Because when we went to Russia, we sent, I think, something like 700 Russian Bibles ahead from Very Precious Seed. And the man that we went with, he died from esophagus cancer. So he's watching from heaven. I don't know. That's probably a supposition. But anyway, we piled them Bibles up in the foyer. They stood about that high in the foyer of the church. And we advertised all over Moscow. We met in a theater in Moscow. We paid to rent it. There was no moving pictures in that theater that night. There's preachers there. Anyway, we had the Bibles piled up. And the word went out that everyone that came to that meeting would get a free Russian Bible. And I could still see those Russian people come walking in there. They'd walk around those Bibles and look. They knew that they sat there and listened to the preaching. They were going to get a new Bible when they went out. But why I'm illustrating on this second point, the Word is powerful, the Word is precious, is those people were so excited that they were going to get a Bible in their language. Well, that night, we'll sit there for right now. That night, after I got done preaching, there was 80 people. Now, I don't know how many was in the auditorium, but it seated quite a bunch. There's 80 people. Probably about as many as would fill this section up here. How would you like to try to counsel that many people? Anyway, I had one person that was my interpreter. And between her, she's a woman, between her and me, tried to help those people. And I didn't make it. You heard of easy believism?
Yeah.
I didn't make it no easy believism. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, when you get saved, you're willing to turn from your sins. We'll get to you in a moment. Hold on. You turn from your sins, you repent, and you're born again, and you're aligned with Jesus. And that doesn't mean all your trials are going to be over. Maybe you'll get some new ones.
Yeah, right.
And they didn't stop. They came. And so as best I could, we dealt with those 80 people. You say, did they all get saved? That's God's business. We're just to give the gospel.
Amen.
And do the best we could. But anyway, there was a fellow, he's a little bit taller than you. He waited until everybody left. And he was holding that Bible that he'd gotten. The pile went down pretty far. I don't know how many people were there. But he's holding that Bible like this. What's the point? Precious. And he's hugging that Bible. And he was waiting to talk to me. Afterwards, I thought, what's he want to say? So you're going to be me, okay? All right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is for illustration purposes. But this Russian man come walking up to me. I want to say this before we go any further. They learn the English language in their schools. So many of them, even though I preached through an interpreter, many of them, they understood English. And so he knew English. And he came up to me. Now bear in mind, I'm the Russian. You're me. You got that? So don't get scared. Stand up straight. He grabbed me by the shirt. He says, I'm going to imitate him. Thank you for coming to our country. I believe in God all my life, but I never heard about Jesus dying for me. Thank you for coming to our country and telling us about Jesus. Thank you. You've done a good job. You can sit down. He was just as real and honest and so appreciative that he had. And the last I seen, I could still see him going out the door, hugging that Bible. Said, Lord, do we love the Word of God that much? I challenged you a few moments ago. Ask God to fill you with the Spirit. You're going to meet some people tomorrow. You're going to go to Walmart. You're going to go to the gas station. You're going to go somewhere. If not tomorrow, the next day or the next. Hey, just get so full of God. The little is going to spill out on somebody else. I sat down one day with a man from India. His name was B. Isaac. His dad was a preacher, so he's a second generation independent Baptist in India. You know what he said to me? How come folks in America don't love the Word of God? He says, most, they never carry gospel tracts. We can have a portion of gospel. We can have a portion of the Bible with us. How come every church, and he was traveled as a missionary from India to the United States. Everywhere we go, they're not excited about the Bible. Are we excited about the Bible?
Amen.
You probably never thought that when you carry a gospel tract, you're carrying a portion of the Bible that will change people's lives.
Amen.
And then you'll be able to maybe find out that there's people reading the tracts that you gave out, and they got saved. We was in Arizona, and I think that night I talked about my wife's ministry. Well, I think they started thinking, "Ah, he believes in women preachers." No, I don't believe in women preachers. I mean, they can preach to their husband, or they can preach across the back fence. But anyway, I don't think they belong up there. Anyway, this woman, I told what my wife's ministry was. And what is it? She gets letters. I don't think they come quite as much anymore today as they used to years ago. And what are them letters? Postage will be paid by addressee.
That's right.
And she gets those envelopes. Six. How many tracts you put in them? About three tracts. Close it up. Seal it. Postage will be paid. Didn't cost a thing. I was telling this at a church out west someplace, and he worked for the postal department. I said, is that legal? He said, why? Have at it. Then no law can bother you there. And so this girl in church in Phoenix, she said, I can do that. Thank you so much for telling me that. I was so glad. And anyway, so she started doing it. And she stamped the tracts herself. You know, her church. And she worked at the church, and exactly 1 year, coincidence is not in the Bible. Is it? After 1 year, he was back at that church, and she was just ecstatic. I got to tell you this. I mean, just a couple days ago, I got this letter. She showed this letter. This lady got saved.
Yeah.
I put this in the mail, and I was doing it, and this happened to me, an application for an insurance company, and she sent from Arizona to Florida, and the tract sat on her desk for 2 weeks. We're talking about conviction. She read it and read it and read it. Finally, she got saved. And then she wrote to that girl and told her about it. And she got that letter right when we came back, 1 year later. No, there's no coincidence with God. We can see providence of God all through the Word of God. But not coincidence. It's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It's precious.
Amen.
You love the Word of God tonight?
Amen.
I know you do. I'm not picking on you. But if you're honest tonight, hey, put some footsteps to your prayers. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Help me to be bold. Walk up to some people. Time won't prevent it. Time would prevent us
from telling you all the people that got saved that way. I first one that popped into my mind is we was headed back to South Dakota. I don't know if it was on a hunting trip or what, but we stopped at the Settle Inn in Des Moines, Iowa. Late at night, about 10 or 11 o'clock. Nobody in the foyer there. Anyway, I take some vitamins at night. And sometimes I have some cornflakes or something with them vitamins. And Mary forgot to put a bowl in there, so I needed a bowl. So I went down to the kitchen and asked the fella, I says, I don't have any bowls. I says, could you open up the kitchen and help me get a bowl? And sure. Well, I had already given him two gospel tracts. Our tract with another fellowship tract, big tract on the inside. I gave it to him. And he was about probably 18, 19 years old, just a young fellow. And anyway, he says, thank you for coming down here and got the cereal bowl. And then he handed me one of the tracts. Now, I want to keep this one, he says, but I want to give you this one. And on the back of it, if you have decided to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior after reading this tract, please write and let us know. And he already had it signed, his address. And I looked at it and went, you know, I preach about it, but yet when it happens, I'm still shocked.
Yeah, you're right.
And so I'm going back over it with him. Oh, I know what this thing says. I read it. He says, I've been going to camp, he says, for several years. And every camp I knew, I was going home lost. And he says, I'm getting now where I wouldn't be going to camp much longer. And I knew that I better get saved or I could end up in hell. A testimony like that, doesn't it encourage you? I thought today, I don't want to be out of God's will. I don't want to miss anybody. I came to church early one Sunday morning when I was pastoring. And there was a fellow walking down the road, Mexican. And he had just a light jacket on. It was about 30 degrees. I thought, boy, he's something wrong here, you know, just walking down the road and it's cold. He wasn't even have his thumb out. And it was right in front of the church. And I stopped the car, rolled the window down on the other side and started talking to him. And no comprendi. He was Mexican, no English. And I used sign language, pastor, and pointed to the church. And it's warm in there, you know. Finally he understood and he got in. I took him over to the church. We have a tract rack at the church that holds 13,000 tracts. And there's a section on the right side that's Spanish. I think I happen to have, yeah, I happen to have. I didn't even put it there. I carry them all the time. But I had that track in the track rack, and it was right next to the one in English. And I thought, all I can do is get that track out. And gave it to him. Well, there's a jail a mile down the road from the church. He was coming from the jail. They kept his partner in jail because they were driving 100 miles an hour on the interstate. And they kept the driver in jail, and they turned him loose the next morning. He didn't know where to go. He was going to try to get back to Columbus. So, we stood there in front of that track rack. And I had this one in English, and all I could do was point and kind of grunt. That's it. Well, when I got down to the invitation on the back, I want to trust Jesus. I reject Jesus. I want to trust Jesus. And he quickly pointed it, want to trust Jesus. And so here, at a language barrier like that, I wonder if he was real. Well, I waited until one of the ladies come to church, and she spoke a little bit Spanish, poquito. Anyway, she says, I think he got it, but I don't know, she says. And I said, well, tell him that I'll see to it that he gets back to Columbus if he'll stay in church. And so she got that across to him. And that man sat through Sunday school in English, a morning service in English, and he stayed all afternoon and went to sleep on my couch in my office. And after church, I took him out to eat. Well, it was kind of boring. He ate and I ate and didn't even talk. Just sat there. But I knew afterwards I was going over to the Meyer store because I knew that there were several Spanish people that worked there. As I walked in the door, a Spanish lady was come walking out the door. And I thought, well, I'm just going to ask her a minute. Maybe she speaks Spanish and English. So I stopped her. I said, are you bilingual? You speak Spanish, English? She says, yes, she says. And I says, this is my friend. I says, I don't speak Spanish, but just poquito. I says, I'm a pastor. Oh, I told him our church. Told her, our church. I said, I think I led him to the Lord, but I'm not real certain. Would you talk to him? Praise the Lord, I sure talk to him. I'm saved. No coincidence with God.
Yeah, right.
And so she starts talking to him, and they're just going 100 miles. Spanish can go 100 miles an hour. And after a couple of minutes, she looked up at me and says, he got it. I should have gave you that on the first point. The power of the Word of God is so underestimated.
Amen.
And it's precious. And the last thing is to be propagated. God's people, we have a responsibility nobody else has. Didn't command the lost to go out and do it. Didn't even command the angels to do it. But it says, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. So that's one thing, whether you're a layman, a woman, a boy, a girl, 5 years old, just walk in there where the Dobermans are at, just go up and knock on the door. Thanks for helping me, young man. Amen. So, it's a blessing to be here tonight and to share with you what the Fellowship Tract League is doing. We are printing, are you listening? We are printing on the average 100 to 120 million tracts every year. And all the years that I pastored, which totaled about 6 years, there was over 100 million tracts printed every year. And so we're grateful that you folks are partnering with us. And so we're going to keep on. And as we speak right now, one of our containers that holds 10.5 million tracts, I was there taking pictures and watching them load it. You know, when you get my age, where you can sit on a chair and watch the other young guys load it. And it headed out for the Philippines. And that was about 6 weeks ago. And it's supposed to be there, otherwise getting real close. And those people will be so excited. So excited. I got a picture back there. You should look it up in that book. Got the book out, Mary? And it's about, I think, 8 or 10 guys from India. And they have piled up in front of them anywhere from 10 to 40,000 gospel tracts in the boxes. One man, tears are just coming down his face. So excited about getting those tracts. And so every dollar that you send to the Fellowship Tract, it goes to print the Word of God. And we have both presses running. We're capable of printing 250,000 tracts an hour. And so one roll of paper will print 125,000 tracts, and it costs $250. So we can go through $500 an hour. But God continues to send the money in, and we operate in the black. I told Brother Bill, when he first came to help me, I said, when the money's there, print them. If it's not there, what can you do? We wait on the Lord. And so we continue to print over 100 million tracts every year. And you are a part of that, so we appreciate being able to come and challenge you. I told the preacher that not only do we get excited that we can ship those tracts all over the world and the people are excited to get them, but what about the one that lives across the street? What about the one that you see at the grocery store? They know where you go to church? Are they saved? If God puts them on your heart, best you stop and do it. I was in Georgia and we come by an old fella sitting on the front steps. This house had a blanket around him. I went another half a mile down the road and bam. God started dealing with me and said, hey, that old fellow there probably talked to you. Go over there and see if he's saved, you know. Gray hair, crippled, sitting in there in a wheelchair with a blanket on him on the front porch. And I pulled up there, walked up to him and says, hey, have you ever meet a preacher from South Dakota? You're a preacher from South Dakota? My old pastor lives down the road. He never comes to see me. And here you come to see me. I said, yeah, I'm a preacher from South Dakota. Oh, thank you for stopping by. I said, you know that when you die, you're going to heaven? Oh, my wife's already there. I'm just waiting to go.
Yeah.
So, I thought, Lord, thank you for letting me stop. He was more of an inspiration to me than I was to him. I was ready to see if I could lead him to the Lord. He's already saved. He had a bib overall on. He reached in there and his wallet was in there. He got out $5, you know. He was probably getting close to 90 years old. He knew what $5 was. That was a lot of money when he was like some of y'all's age. He said, here, buy some gas, keep preaching the gospel. Never have forgotten that. I need to quit. I went over time. Preacher never goes to 8:15, does he? Oh, he does, huh? But it's a good time to be in church, amen. So I appreciate you folks, and thank you for partnering with us, and thank you, preacher. Thank you, sir. And oh yeah, we know them folks from, we stopped at least twice in Livingston, Montana?
Belgrade,
Montana. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for allowing us to cross paths with these good folks. And I do pray that you would challenge us to do more. Lord, as the time comes when we'll stand before you and give an account, Lord, help each one of us to think about that tonight. And Lord, if some were real quiet when I asked, if they asked to be filled with the Spirit and got some tracts to pass out, Lord, I pray if there's some that could be further involved and you're trying to deal with them tonight, I pray, Lord, they maybe come to an altar and say, yes, Lord, I want to do more for you. And Lord, I pray that if someone slipped through the doors and they're not even sure they're saved, Lord, I pray that they take care of that tonight. Lord, we never ever skip over that, because the majority of the people that get saved in our meetings are church members. So meet with us special in the closing moments of this service, with heads bowed, with eyes closed. Has God dealt with you in any way tonight? Can I see your hand? Oh, praise the Lord. God bless you. Be all right, preacher, if I have Mary and I sing a song in closing. So let's have everyone stand up with heads